It's time once again to explore a range of health issues and ways of assisting people with them on Fitter Happier. This morning we look at youth mental health. The Fiona Stanley Hospital Youth Community Assessment and Treatment Team is a community outreach service that uses a client-centred, recovery-focused approach to youth mental health. The service provides assessment and intensive case management for young people using a range of interventions to help improve their mental health. And a key aim is the need to destigmatise mental illness and the importance of early intervention to improve mental health. Curtin University Faculty of Health Sciences Clinical Lecturer Dr. Shinar Goel is with me this morning. Hi Shinar, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Yep, and also with us is Fiona Stanley Hospital psychologist Talia Heyman.
Good morning, thanks for having us.
You're welcome. So full studio this morning. Now, basically a serious subject, and YCAT, which is, I suppose, the acronym for the Youth Community Assessment and Treatment Team.
That's correct.
Yeah, a bit of a tongue twister, but good work that you guys do, yeah?
Thank you very much.
Now, tell me, what drew each of you to the area of mental health? Perhaps we'll start with you, Shinar.
So basically, when I finished my training and became a consultant psychiatrist in England, and that's when I realized this is the area which needs a lot of service, a lot of input, and you can do a lot of work with families, with young adults, and make a big difference. And that's what brought me to youth psychiatry.
Great. And Talia, have you always worked with youth mental health?
Not always, but I've been drawn to this age group for similar reasons around early intervention. They're a great group to work with. And I think, you know, being able to work in this age group, it can help reduce the suffering later on in life with mental illness.
So. Right. And I believe, understandably, that early intervention is one of the key solutions to treat youth mental health.
That's correct. That's the main aim, is early intervention, which reduces the burden on the health when they grow up and become adults.
Now, what age do we usually see mental health issues arising in teens?
So it's usually the early onset is between 12 to 25. 50% of the onset of the mental illness happens during this age group. And most of that, which is 40%, is between 60 to 24. And that's the area we target, 16 to 24 year olds.
16 to 24 is your area of expertise.
That's right.
And with that, well, those demographics, I suppose, I'm sort of going to assume that besides puberty and moving out from school to work, there are other stress factors that play a part here. What are some of those? Talia, perhaps you could enlighten us there.
Yeah, I guess this time of life is a tricky one for anyone. You're trying to work out who you are and what direction and what you want to do with your life. But I guess on top of that can be, you know, environmental stresses at home or at school.
And there's an interesting one which I read an article about, the recent school academic pressures and performance pressures, whereby the article said the current IQ is expected to be more than EQ, which is your intelligence has to be more than your emotional quotient, and that creates a lot of stress on our youngsters, which leads to some sort of mental illness, I guess.
There's just so much going on in life between the ages of 16 to 24.
Exactly.
We don't need that added pressure,
no.
But it's inevitable that that's what happens as you move into adulthood. What are some signs that, say, a parent or a teacher might look out for in to see if anything is a little bit shaken up there in someone's mental health?
So the common ones we usually advocate or we usually suggest to parents to look out for is the sleep disturbance is the first one, and then the decline in their functioning or performance, which could be in school, sports, day-to-day life, and then relationship breakups or the family disputes. And these are the things which start to bring on the mental illness.
And what about like in a hospital setting? What are some common mental health issues that you guys see there sometimes?
So we usually see emerging psychosis, mood disorders, anxiety disorders, and sometimes behavioral disorders, which are part of the personality disorders. And these are the common ones we see in this age group.
When I was at university, I minored in behavioral studies and majored in media, but with the behavioral studies component, I found that alone quite overwhelming because I was only 20 and learning about everything from sex, drug abuse to schizophrenia. That can sort of be another, I must admit, on a personal note, something that can be sort of confusing as well. All this information you've got going on around you growing up and then to be reading, analysing it. And I'll cut to the chase here. When I was at university, I actually went through acute paranoia. And to me, it was a nightmare. Now, that's something where an individual comes in and out of particular scenarios.
Reality, yes.
Yes, but then if you look at something like, say, schizophrenia, which is a little more consistent and majorly traumatic, because that would be like a nightmare that you're not even aware of
most
of the time.
Yes, it can be quite overwhelming.
Yeah, so to be empathic with that as a psychologist in your case, Talia, and a doctor in your case, Shina, how do you know where to come from to be empathic and relate to people that are going through major symptoms?
So this is very important for us as a team, and especially as a doctor, psychologist and nurses. We have to be very empathic with these people, not only the young adults, but their families. It's difficult for them to accept what they're going through. So it's very important to have a thorough assessment, first to understand that that is the case, and then to approach it very sensitively with them, explain what's going on, offer them treatment and other approaches that are available. And we do not straight go ahead and jump with the diagnosis of schizophrenia, because it's not only stigmatizing, but it's quite overwhelming for the younger adults. And then once we have started the treatment, they feel better, they start to understand what is happening, they get insight, that's when we start to talk about the diagnosis and the future and prognosis.
Sure. In what way can the average person sort of help destigmatize mental illness?
I think one of the most important things is that, particularly in this age group, we know that less than 25% of young people are coming to seek help for their mental illness. So I think the most important thing in conversation is to be able to, one of the biggest fears for young people is that they're going to be stigmatised, maybe rejected if they open up and talk a little bit about what they're struggling with. So one of the most important things I think we can do to help each other and as a community, as friends, as family members, is to encourage that young person to seek help, let them know that the earlier the better, let them know most of all that they're not alone. Mental illness is very common. It doesn't discriminate at all. And we know that most people can recover from it.
Do you feel group sessions are good as well, when people can relate to one another? And
certainly. They play a big role in the recovery.
Great, great. And I was going to say, with regards to the whole, I suppose, a universal perspective of mental illness, or let's keep it local, have you seen that there's an increase of incidents in WA, or are things looking a little better because of this openness and open dialogue?
I think there is certainly an increase, as also reported by science and research. There is an increased incidence of depression, anxiety amongst younger adults, and that's again going back to more family breakdowns, more relationship problems, and most commonly the drug problems.
Yeah, drugs play a major part at the moment in causing problems, because not only is it interrupting, and it's actually changing, I suppose, chemicals.
That's true.
Within the mind.
That's how they work. They cause problems.
Great. Okay, then. Well, where should we go in a mental health emergency if anyone sort of is feeling a little down or you know, feeling a bit confused in their thinking?
So there's various ways to get help. The first and foremost is to go to your GP and ask for some advice, get yourself checked out, and if need be, they would refer to services appropriate for the needs. And then there's some emergency helpline numbers for alcohol and drug services, crisis care, 24-hour helpline numbers. So those are the numbers one should go to if struggling over the weekends or out of hours.
So sometimes in an overwhelming mind state, it can be a bit difficult to obtain those numbers. So is a 000 okay to call when something seems a little bit...
So that will be the times when there's emergency, so there's risk to self or others. That's when we suggest you call 000. But otherwise, there's a crisis line number. If you want, I could give
that
to you.
Yeah.
So that's +61 89 223 1111. I repeat, it's +61 89 223 1111.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on Fitter Happier, part of the MAG and RTRFM.
Thanks for having us. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Thank
Cheers.
You.
Bye. Thanks. That was Dr. Shanar Goel, she's the Curtin University Faculty of Health Sciences Clinical Lecturer, and Fiona Stanley Hospital Psychologist Talia Heyman discussing youth mental health with us here on RTRFM's The Mag. In sum, it is good to realise and understand that early intervention is key to mental health, and that we do need to work towards destigmatising mental illness, and of course that there is help available. So that number again is +61 8922 311111, and again, in case of emergency, you can always call 000. More MAG coming up very shortly.